Father, we're going to release the kids into kingdom land, and then we're going to have kingdom land in here today, Jesus. So meet with us. We need your presence. We need your power. We need all of you today. We give you praise, Lord. We pray that no one, Lord, will be soaking today, not today. Everyone will be wide awake in your presence, learning, hearing the word of the Lord today. We give you honor, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. If we haven't released the kids three times, they're released again. This is our 20th year of missions. This fall. Well, actually July, but we're going to celebrate it this fall. 20th year of missions, every one of them was a miracle that we ever were able to deploy a team. Some of you have been on those missions, or you've been downtown or some of the other places that we go in Stark County to minister. But prior to those 20 years and 21 years of Bible study, Pastor Mary Pat and I were doing ministry in a number of other places in Stark County. We had a journey. You had a journey getting here. This place opened in 2005, and we didn't know who would show up the first meeting in September 2005, because we had a Bible study at our house. We didn't know whether anybody would start up with a church. But you know what happens with a church. It becomes churchy. Churchy. I said churchy. And we don't want that ever. So if you sniff that you are comfortable here, that's not good. Because we don't want you comfortable. We don't want you just kind of, you know, cozying into that nice, comfortable chair. Enjoying everything going on up here, letting all the all-stars do the thing up here. And we want you to be equipped. We want you to be a disciple. So if you smell churchy, come talk to me, because that's not what we're shooting for. If we were shooting for churchy, we'd have more people in here. I guarantee it. We might actually fill up the overflow and you'd be looking for a place in the parking lot. If we became churchy, you know churchy, you end at noon. See, we already shot ourselves in the foot. If we ever at noon, everyone in here would gasp. I think we ended at 12:15 or 12:30 one time, and people came up saying, If I leave right now, am I going to miss something? Churchy, you pass the plate. Okay, nothing wrong with that. Not putting it down. I'm not saying people shouldn't do it. It's fine. But the Lord told us when we moved in here, don't pass the plate. Don't have people feel the pressure of other people looking at them while they give to God. And so we put a box on the back wall, a small box. Some people that come here, I've said it before, they ask me, I have something to give. Like that, yeah, right there. I have something to give. Where do I put it? When is the plate going to be passed? We don't pass the plate. What do I do with this? I want to give to the Lord. What do I do with this? There's a box. Here, let me. It's right back. Can you see it? It's right back there. Now, that can become churchy. We can be saying, well, we just put a box. We don't pass the plate. I don't feel that way at all. I just think it's kind of cool that that box touches these nations. These people are real people we've met. We didn't pick these off the internet and put up a nice picture of some people that we don't know. We've met these people, ministered to these people in these different countries. How does that happen? I can't tell you. I don't know. We don't know what we're doing here. Never have. But I am going to tell you what's on the Lord's hearts today for you. Maybe not all the Lord's heart. It's way too big for even a frontline service to explain that to you or even get a piece of it. His heart is huge for people downtown Canton, huge for people in the nations. His heart is so big. But I do want to explain part of his heart that you may kind of see or not see. Or you need it clarified. Or you need it revisited. You need a reminder. I need a reminder. It reminded me. But before we started a Bible study in our home, we were in other places. I became a believer in 1972, May of 1972. Someone shared with me over a two-night, six-hour experience of sharing the gospel with me. And at first, I resisted. I had been to churchy. I knew what churchy was like. I knew how to fake out the churchy. I knew how to, you know, sing in the choir and then do what I wanted. Sing in the choir, and then I live my own life. You know, walk straight in front of the pastor, and then go do what you want in your real life outside the churchy. So I thought that's what this was about, as the person shared with me. But as they continued sharing, I saw they actually believed it. They wanted Jesus. And they wanted me to have Jesus. For real. And I'd gone to church with this person. I'd spent time with this person. And they had changed. That made an impact on me. And so I received the Lord during the summer of my freshman year of college. And I was changed. I had, many of you have heard the testimony before, but I had a curtain. Actually, you know, this wasn't always like this. I had a curtain of hair that I would occasionally peek out of to look at the world or interact with people. I was doing well in my classes. I wasn't into drugs, but I had the hair. So I got along with the guys in the dorm that were doing the drugs. They'd all came up and offered their drugs to me, and I smiled back and said, no, I don't really want that, and I wasn't even a believer. But hey, I think you're, you know, a nice guy. And then someone knocked on my door when I had the curtain, and they offered me Jesus, and I thought it was churchy, and I said, ah, I already know him. I had received him when I was 5 years old. I'm sure I didn't look like it when I came to the door. You know, hair down to my shoulders, little curtain I'm peeking out of to this person trying to offer Christ with a smile. But the summer after my freshman year, I did receive him fully, completely, laid it all out. Here's my life. Don't know what that looks like, God. Show me. Started to read the Bible. Was voracious after the Bible. You know, the Good News version. Some of you missed that stage of Christianity. Others of you know what I'm talking about. Had little pictures, lined pictures in it. I ate it up. I thought, hey, I heard about this before in church from my Sunday school guy that pulled my ear whenever I was out of, you know, whack. He would pull my ear. That's what he was talking about. But Jesus was pulling my heart instead of my ear. He wanted me to know him and follow him. And so I went back to campus, and I thought, I've got to tell the people I'm living with that I'm a believer now. So they won't ask me to the parties. So they won't just, you know, offer me everything on the menu that they had that they were into as addictions and so on. So the first night, I sat three guys down. One of them was new. We were in a four-man room, shared Jesus with them. And they went, oh. That's too bad. I said, no, it's not. Really? My life has changed. I'm different. They saw my hair was different. So they watched for a while to see if I'd live it out. They started coming and asking me questions. I started sharing Jesus with them. Then somebody came and knocked on my door after I became a believer. And they said, hey, would you like to come down to this study down in this other dorm room? And I said, yes, I would.
You would?
Yes. So I went down to that dorm room. They're sharing Jesus, the gospel. I said, I already know him. Oh, we have another Bible study for you. And they put me in a discipleship Bible study. And these guys were serious. They actually did like a lesson a week and memorized a couple verses. And I thought, whoa, nobody in college is doing that on top of their studies. The other Christian groups on campus were kind of, you know, pizza and boy, girl. And we give you a little lesson from the Bible. Again, kind of churchy. But these guys were serious. They went through the dorm asking people to come to Bible studies. They went out on campus and had rallies in front of the campus to tell the campus about Jesus. They brought speakers in and so on. And I began to go to their conferences and began to be trained up and discipled by some of these guys that were in the dorm. And then when I got married, I did it with the married ministry. There was a guy from that ministry, the Navigators, came and trained me, showed me the way as a married person. I had someone that I could ask questions of. I could have someone that I could talk about the difficulties of life and so on. And so much of that, and what Pastor Mary Pat went through was somewhat similar, much of that has been inputted into this. So we're not looking for church members. We don't have membership here. We're not looking for churchy type, you know, situations for people. Oh, let's provide a nice church for you where you're warm and cozy and you have a nice simple seat to sit on and you feel good about yourself, you know, because all we do is talk about good stuff. You're going to be challenged, loved, cared for, prayed over, prayed into, picked up when you fall down, when you run away. We might actually chase you for a while to see if you might want us to catch you. Now, we won't chase you forever, but we will come after you in love. Some people like that. Some people don't. And much of the body of Christ doesn't operate that way. And so, you end up with a smaller group at the moment. In this part of our history, a smaller group. But if I were to go through some of the lives in this group right now, it would astound you where they've been on the earth, where they've been in Canton, who they've talked to at work, how they've stepped out in their life to let God rule in their life, let God take their life and hear from him on their decisions. For who am I going to marry? Where am I going to work? What kind of ministry will I do? What kind of challenges am I willing to go through so that I grow? Much of the body of Christ calls that discipleship. We've kind of found out that it's actually the Father's heart to father us. And so discipleship is fathering. Fathering is discipleship. God has a heart for each one of us that's huge, and he wants us to respond to that heart of love. But he uses people in the body of Christ to build us up. That's what these holy clubs are all about. Might be a strange name. It's a name from history. Holy club. Oh, what will that be? Now I'll have to walk the line. It's a holy club. You know what that means? Get all that junk out of my life and quit wasting my time on this, that, and... You know, if you fall in love with Jesus, you're in the holy club. If you fall deeper and deeper in love with Jesus each day, you're in the holy club. There's no line to walk. He will lead you. He will take your hand and take you. He will speak to you in these days out of the Bible and also out of speaking to your spirit. That's what I like about this place. Everybody that comes up here to share on the microphone has something to say about what God has taught them, shown them through their life, out of the Word, at work, with their family. He's speaking to them. He's leading them. Leading you. You're not them. You're you. That's the best thing that can happen. But you have to cooperate with that. And that's like saying, I volunteer to get hit between the eyes ever so often. Now, I know, looking throughout just the ones that are here today, and there's quite a few people out going different places today, but the ones that I see here today that I know, some of you have actually run a little bit from the Lord and then come back. Maybe you only took one, two steps, but then you turned around and came back. And you thought you were running from Frontline or Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat, you know, those scary people. You thought you were running from them because they're so scary. They want you to do stuff. They want you to be part of the army of Frontline. And if you're not, you're out! You're wrong. That's the enemy saying those things. We offer a lot of opportunities with a smile. Many, many, many. So many that no person here could come to all of them, including me, including Pastor Mary Pat. So let's just throw that out right now. It's not meeting that bar of coming to things, doing things. Even holy clubs, there are people talking to us as if, oh my gosh, I don't know, you know. It's supposed to be a good thing. Let's see what God will work out for you. Let's see how we can work with you. But we do want a commitment to this because it's part of the discipling for those that are going to jump in. Now, believe me, we've heard every excuse over the years. I can't go on this mission trip because, after all, I work. And God has moved heaven and earth, and some of those very same people have ended up on the mission trip. I can't go on a mission trip because I have children now. I got to take care of those children. No one's saying you have to leave your children to go on a mission trip. But if God puts it on your heart, he'll make a way, because he has for several people in this body. If God has it on his heart, his big heart, his heart is so big for the nations, you, me, everyone will have to sacrifice. Discipleship is not just taking ongoing Bible studies for the rest of your life. That was kind of the way it appeared in the Navigators. I know that's not what they really wanted. They had 6 books of discipleship. They had a box that you could get. Now, this is the premium cedar box from the Navigators, official. It's probably even got a marking on it somewhere. And in this box were cards. You started with a basic 60 verses that you memorized, the topical memory system. You memorized those 60 verses to build into your life. Now, as a young person, I struggled with that. Oh my, you know, memorize 60 verses. But then they had other packs beyond that, and they're all in here, I think. Then they gave you blank cards in case during your quiet time you ran across a beauty and you wanted to write it down and memorize it. So I have my scrawled original language writing on some of these cards in this. Then they would have illustrations that you learned, the hand illustration about the Word of God. You grip the Word of God with your hand. And so, the pinky finger was here. Ring finger, read. Middle finger, study. Pointer finger, memorize. And the thumb was meditate on it all. These are good things. Good things in an illustration form. But if you thought by knowing this illustration, you were a disciple, oh no. No, 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 no. You actually had to take the Word of God and apply it after you meditated on it. I know they said that a lot, but it's not on here. Apply it to your life. Actually live it out. That's what we're all doing. If you are hungry after God, you're trying to live out your interaction with the Word of God. So some of you are saying, boy, I don't do that study very well. I don't do that memorize at all. And do I have a handle on God's Word? Well, they would tell you back in the Navigators, you don't really have a handle on it. But I'm going to tell you something. Every navigator I know had holes in what he was doing. What do you do then? They didn't admit it, many of them. Now, the younger recruits did, and the older guys were always like, well, you'll get there, buddy, you know, kind of idea. I know they didn't all act like that, but that was my impression. That, you know, I'd say, gosh, I really struggle with this 2 verses a week. Well, you know, it's good for you, and it's, you know, it's best for your life. But they forgot to say, God loves it when you love his word. Whether you hear it, read it, memorize it. I mean, when you look in the Bible, it's hard to put Abraham, you know, with this hand thing. He just went after God's heart, hungry, and he did all these things. But he didn't have the hand illustration. How did he do it without the hand illustration? Then they had another illustration of the hand for prayer. So I guess, you know, you've got two hands, got the word and prayer. Sounds great. Not mocking it, not making fun of it. It is foundational. So, pinky finger, confession, ring finger. I was going to say perdition. It's petition, intercession, thanksgiving, and praise for the thumb. All good stuff. But when I sat down for my quiet time sometimes as a young navigator, I was thinking, am I praising now or am I worshiping or am I, you know, am I thanking him or, oh, did I say a request before I thanked him and praised him? Oh, what was I thinking? Because they had other illustrations for that. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, the acts. Am I supplicating too much and not interceding enough? And I had a lot of those things going on. And then later on, I find out Father God loves me anyway. Jesus made up all the difference for my lack. When I celebrate that, I'm a much stronger believer. I'm not going around with the, you know, the hand on this side and the hand on this side and the wheel and all the other illustrations thinking, I'm not doing these things. When God wants connection with him, he wants a closeness with him. He wants hunger after his heart. And on these details, you're not going to ever pray enough to satisfy the enemy. He's going to tell you, you're not praying enough, you're no good. Okay? So just increase your prayer. Increase your connection with God. But it's about a connection with God. It's not about the act of praying. How many are hearing what I'm saying today? Come on. You've heard all these things. They're good. They're foundational. I'm not making fun of these things. Some of you might think I am. I'm really not. They're foundational. They're great. I just want you to get the result of what they're supposed to be about. And I didn't learn that really well until later when I found out Jesus loves me. I mean, really loves me. He wants connection with me. That should stir up a hunger in me. He is willing to forgive every sin I've ever committed or any future sin I'm going to commit. His blood will cover it all if I trust in his blood to cover it all. But that doesn't mean, oh, good, now I can go out and sin, because that wouldn't be connecting with God's heart. That wouldn't be showing love for him. He loves me that much. I need to love him back with all that I am. So you can imagine, as a pastor, you get a chance to share things with people that you're hoping they will decide, I want to be discipled more. I want to go after God's heart more. I don't want to run away from what God has for me. I don't want to miss what God has for me. You're hoping that what you share with them will be that way. Sometimes here, we actually hear from God and share it with someone else. You've done it. I've done it. If it's truly from God, and you're not just manipulating, but you have an open heart towards God, and you're just trying to give them what God gives you, that's serious for them. It's serious for you, and it's serious for them. Because if it's truly from God, it's rhema. It's life. If they walk away from it, and it's truly from God, they're in trouble. I'm saying they're in trouble. Now, it doesn't mean they can't make a U-turn and go back to God and repent and, oh, wow, what was I thinking? I was stupid. All those kinds of things are always available. But so often people get headstrong and they think they know so much and they start to go away from who they think is trying to disciple them or help them, and they're actually running from God. That's scary, especially if they have a word from God that they're giving out to them. Example, there have been a couple of times where God has given me a similar word for people. One of the words that I've received and I have given to a couple different people is that many people, once they get a little bit grounded in the Christian life, when the pressures of life start to come in, like, ooh, job pressures, everybody experiences those. Children start to come into their realm. First, they're, you know, getting married. That's, whoa, a lot to deal with here. Wow, this is a whole other person I got to work with here. Oh, and then the children and the job. And it starts to become this, how do I do this? It's like ping pong balls in the bathtub. I can't keep them all down. They just keep popping up. It's just a problem after problem. How do I get close to God's heart? And what sometimes happens is a person like that will go into a cave. This is the word I had for a couple of people. They go into a cave, and they kind of gather who they feel safe around, no one that's really challenging them too much, in the cave. And then they speak, and off the walls, they hear the echo. And they go, it's God! That's God! He's talking to me. But actually, they're hearing their own echo off the walls into their heart. And many times it happens with spouses. They agree together. They're in the cave together. They come into agreement together. They don't really get a lot of input from other believers. And they start talking with one another. They speak off the wall. They both hear the same thing back. And they go, gee, that's got to be God. What will short-circuit that? Being in a discipleship relationship. Many of you are. And you don't even know it in some cases. Some of you kind of in and out of it, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. I'm challenging you today. Ask God, am I on my way to being a disciple? Am I a disciple? Jesus, have I jumped out of the process of being discipled? Am I only hearing my own voice off the walls of the cave because that's what sounds best to me? And I'm in agreement with my spouse, or I'm in agreement with some other person, and it just sounds good off the cave. I'm just sounding the alarm. Sounding the alarm. That's dangerous. The other picture that I had that I've given, as far as I know, to one person, maybe a version of it to another person. And in this, you know, in this case, they didn't listen. It was, I saw this person in a building, and they're eating at a table. But they're eating garbage. Nothing but garbage, but they're enjoying it. So they're eating the garbage, and it's like, wow, this is what I want, what I want. And the roof catches fire. the door is locked because they're trying to kind of hide away while they eat the garbage. They know others aren't really excited about this particular meal of garbage. No one will join them to eat the garbage. The roof catches on fire. The doors are locked. And Jesus comes to the window outside and bangs on the window with the person, you know, just able to see who it is outside the window. They're at the table. And they take their chair. They see it's Jesus. And they take their chair and they move like this, with their back to Jesus. He's trying to sound the alarm to them. He's actually dressed as a fireman. He has an axe. And he's trying to show them the roof's on fire. And they turn from him. And so he does what Jesus does. He starts to rescue them by crashing through the window with the axe. But they see him and they run to the other room, up the stairs towards the fire. And so they're not rescued. So those are sobering. And when I give them, it's not like, okay, now you need to do this or you need to do that. It speaks for itself. God is trying to get your attention. You're turning from him. You're doing things, you know, that aren't helping you. His heart is to rescue you, but he can only go so far if you're running from him. He won't be able to, you know, take you and grab you and yank you if you're running away from him. He wants your heart involved. He wants you to say yes to it. So we've been, you know, a ministry 21 years, doing missions for 20 years. We're not going to sit and say, okay, now we've kind of arrived and we're going to become more churchy. If you've listened to the messages the last three times, including this one that I've spoken, they're very pointed about our relationship with Jesus, that we can get so used to things that we don't remember what he's done. That was one of the messages. Active remembrance of what he has done in our lives. And that's what they did in the desert. That's why it's so important. If you read through Psalms, it's remember, 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 remember. Why? We forget. So when we go out to eat with someone or whatever, and they're telling us what God has done in their lives and in the lives of those they love, that's like sweet. They're remembering, we're remembering how good God is as we hear someone else's testimony. We've always had an open mic up here at the front. Some people have even come up during my message as they raise their hand, you know, raise their hand. And, yes, oh, could I? Say, oh, of course. And we give them the mic. Why would we do that? Because they can hear from God. And if they give something, it helps the body in some way. It can be better than a person speaking sometimes. Hearing from someone that's sitting out there with you, you can identify with that person pretty well. And we've opened up the mic, and sometimes it's been kind of interesting, some of the things that have come out. But usually they get better as the longer that they're here. They get, you know, more and more revelation that's really revelation. And so it's awesome that that goes on. But that doesn't happen everywhere. So what we're saying is we trust you that you can hear from God. You can actually hear from God. And you can share something up here that might transform someone's life. You could be giving out life to people from up here. But one thing you need to know is just because someone comes up and they give a tremendous testimony to God's name, it doesn't necessarily mean they're a disciple and living out that every day in their life. God does things to every believer, good things. He's a good father. But that doesn't mean the person has sold out to discipleship. You see all the young people up there, you know, waving their hands and dancing, you know, at the youth encounters and retreats and everything. And we've all, many of this, us here, have been there, ministered to people. They get so much, and then they walk away from Jesus not long after that. What's going on? They're not willing to be discipled. So let's look at Matthew 28. Last week, Pastor Murray Pat talked about the verses that this ministry is based on. We can look there quick. Luke 4, 18 and 19. In the New King James, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he is a anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." That's the verses that God gave us, and also, obviously, Jesus lived out for the basis of this ministry. We feel we're anointed. And so we want more of that. God anoints us. God anoints leaders in the body of Christ to equip the believers to be disciples. So it's not just, you know, well, we tell you something and give you something and, well, that's our best guess. Well, that's based on our experience. We'll tell you if it's just kind of something that based on our experience. But if we really think God has given us a word for you, I would take it seriously. We don't just say that flippantly. Now, we don't always have a word for everyone. You don't always have a word for everyone that you talk to, but you can help them grow, take the next step in going after God's heart. To proclaim liberty to the captives, heal up the brokenhearted, sight to the blind, set at liberty those that are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the time, is the acceptable year of the Lord. Now is the time. Go after God with all your heart, with hunger. Love him with all your heart, with hunger. Matthew 28, 18. "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." This verse is in this box. And when I first heard it, 30 plus years ago, I decided I wanted to do that. Make disciples. I wanted to see the nations touched by disciples. And I felt as weak can be, because everybody I talked to, they didn't want to meet with me to learn from me. I was a young pup to them, and they were young pups. Why should young pups teach young pups? But I found out that as I took those steps that really, you know, would you like to meet? I'd meet with other guys, and some were helping me grow in the Christian faith, but me trying to find someone that would wanted to be discipled was a kind of a hard thing. There weren't a lot of people that open to it, and they might last for a little while, and then they were gone. But as I kept at it, as Pastor Mary Peck kept at it, wow, suddenly God developed an anointing in us, developed character in us, developed ministry in us, developed his heart in us, and people started to come that wanted to be discipled. And as I've said many times before in various ways, If we took all those people that came originally to be discipled, yes, I want to be discipled, it would easily, you know, double the size of this church. Where are those people now? They found something better to do or a better place to be discipled, one or the other. The ones that I know of, many of them are off track with God. They're not following him because they had an opportunity to join a small army going to the nations, and they said, I don't like this, or I don't like that, or this, the other, and control, and, you know, people trying to put me in a certain mold. I'm out of that mold. I'm better than that. In fact, I've learned so much from God. I can do this on my own, different place, different. I can lead, I can give words, I can. And as soon as they walk out the door with that attitude, they end up being Nebuchadnezzar, who ate grass for 7 years. Got on the wall and said, look at all I've built. Look at all I am, man. I'm something. I've got a crown. See my crown? I'm really something. And they think, you know, he thought he did all that. And 7 years he eats grass. Not good. Eating grass isn't good. I've had a taste of grass. I really have. In the Christian life, and it doesn't taste good. I think my grandchildren probably threw some in my mouth as well, and it doesn't taste good. Whether it's in the natural or the supernatural, grass does not work. Works for cows, doesn't work for me. And some of you think that some of the green I'm eating now is the same way. No. That's good stuff. Good stuff. But I still have a heart of concern for those, you know, that had the opportunity. But I'm not going to go chase them. Jesus didn't chase the disciples down that when it came to a certain point, he gave a hard word. Anyone remember that? He gave a hard word. Eat my flesh. Drink my blood. And they're like, oh, what is this? And they took off. They took off from Jesus. Jesus had a small army. You think he had lots of people following him? Most of them walked away from his teachings. Most walked away from his teachings. It's sobering for us because if you've had the opportunity to be discipled, to go after God's heart, keep going. I don't feel, I'm in a stage of life that keep going after his heart. But if someone says to you, hey, you might need to make this course adjustment in going after God's heart, don't sit there with, well, I know a thing or two about the Christian life. I prayed for somebody to be healed. So did the disciples. And they needed the Holy Spirit to fully be anointed and to give their lives for Jesus. It's a serious thing. If you've been after God's heart, some people think they're being discipled by showing up at churchy. No. That's only a small piece of the discipling. Even the holy clubs will be a piece of it because you have to live it out. You have to love Jesus. You have to take it and go after him. Well, I think I know quite a bit. I don't really need holy clubs. If that's the attitude, whoa. If you got a schedule problem, that's different. You know, it's probably something we can work out. But if it's an attitude, well, I think I know, you know, I got it. You're missing the fact you're interacting with a lot of believers and a leader of the group that is going after God with a hungry heart. There's nothing that can help you more than that. People going after God with a hungry heart. How hungry did you feel in worship today? Wow. It was awesome. You know? We had a hunger in here. I felt it. There were a number of people hungry after God's heart. Now, if you were checking your phone while worship was going on, better check with God as to how much you're allowing him in. You can do that. We're not going to come up and go, hey, put that phone down. This is worship. No. But check yourself. I didn't show up for worship. What's that mean? I'm busy? I had something else to do during worship. What's that mean? Are we worshiping God, or are we just kind of together doing a thing? I don't want this to be churchy. Hear my heart? You're supposed to smile. This is, it's given with joy. It's given with, come on, let's go. Not, it's not that. Never has been. I want to call you to a higher place. Some of you have already said you want to go there. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost me. I want to pay the cost, and I want you to help me pay the cost. I need your encouragement to pay the cost to the higher place I need to go. I need your encouragement. Pastor Mary Pat needs your encouragement to go there. But you need our encouragement. You need the encouragement of other believers to get there. Many people are talkers. You know a disciple when you see one after 20 years. That's how you know that they're really after God's heart. If they're doing it after 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. Some of you are barely that age. So you've not arrived just because you prayed for somebody for healing. You've not arrived just because you had a dream. You've not arrived. I've not arrived. If we sing with abandon and worship, we've not arrived. We're still on our way. We're disciples, followers of Jesus, not followers of our own voices off the walls of the cave. Not turning our back to him when we want to eat some garbage. We want to do our own deal. We want to experience some of that world out there after all. We don't, do we? No one say anything back. Come on. Say it back. Say it back to me. Mark 16:15. This is God's heart, isn't it? Disciple the nations. That means you have to be a disciple in order to disciple other nations. That means you have to actually be helped by someone else, not just show up at a frontline function or a frontline training. You actually have to give your stuff, talk your stuff over with leaders, other believers that are really after God's heart. Now, if they whisper to you, maybe they're trying to keep their voice down so that the other people that are really having Jesus' heart don't hear them. Don't go to the ones that are rebelling against God and say, gee, I wonder how they play both sides. I want to do that so I don't have to, you know, I don't have to commit that much, or I don't have to give that much, or I don't have to sacrifice. You don't want that voice. You want the pure voice of the Lord. You want the pure challenge of the Lord. You want the pure, you know, word that he has for you that's going to take you forward, not drag you back. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Some of these things happen as you go. You're not supposed to just do them. For instance, let's just drink something deadly and see what happens. Hey, yo, let's just take a serpent and see what happens. No, what they're saying here, what Jesus is saying is, you'll actually, as you go, you're going to feel resistance. You're going to have things come against you. Malaria. Both Pastor Mary Pat and I have had malaria. Some in this body have had malaria from going. But we're healthy. Divine health, kingdom health. When we pray for stuff in our bodies, it just kind of goes. My elbow was just hurting me like crazy. I actually did some manual labor the last few days. Oh, man, that stuff's tough. I don't know how you people do it. And my arm hurt. My arm doesn't hurt right this moment. Why? I'm under the anointing. I'll let you know after I'm out from under the anointing. It might hurt again. But there's substance to what I'm talking about. Substance. There are going to be things happen to you that you're going to just walk through it and it's not going to stick. The enemy is done. When are we going to say, yes, he's done, and not think of the 50 things that come to our mind? He's not done with that, and 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 this is getting worse, and that's getting worse. Is the enemy done? Then we declare it, we walk into it, and we see what he wants us to do with it. I've been helped by doctors as well as prayer. I'm not against doctors. I love my son-in-law. They help. I just happen to go to Jesus first. Hey, I got a glitch in my elbow. Jesus, should I go see the doctor? Nah. Let's work on this one together. In other ones, he'll say, go to the doctor. They got medicine for that. Just take the medicine. But it's being led by the Spirit to do those things. And it's a wonderful life. You should be smiling, not so concerned as you look up here. Some of you are really intense. Discipleship is a heck of a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I just want you to have as much fun as you can have. Some of you are starting to avoid the fun, thinking there's more fun if I do it this way. And I come out from under discipleship. You don't want to do that. So we have a commission, the Great Commission. And he actually wants us to do it as part of God's heart. How do we do it? Can you do it? Can I do it by myself? No. Can Pastor Mary Pat and I do it by ourselves? No way. And you can't do it by yourself. So that's why we keep saying, let's get closer to God's heart and do it together. Let's go after the nations together. We keep making the call, and many of you are responding. But don't stop responding. Keep hearing the call. See how he wants you to work it out. Just because your circumstances get more complicated doesn't mean the call has ended. How many hear me? Just because, you know, the circumstances become more complicated, your call is not done. That's the best time to plow through those things. Like serpents and deadly things, you know, all that. You're supposed to walk through that stuff to get the gospel out. It's that valuable, and you're that valuable to walk through it. I don't fear what the enemy is going to bring near. Why? He's done. Either the song is just for fun and we get up here, the enemy is done, and all the kids, the enemy is done, and they do it while they're sleeping and while they're, you know, it's either that or it's, you know, it's just for fun. It's either that or it's real. And you can use it in your life. Some of you can give testimony. You could come up here and give a testimony how the enemy is bowed at the name of Jesus in your life. Wow. Do you know some people are contending for that? But they don't want to be a disciple. What's it say? When you're going to give the gospel out, these things don't stick to you. When I get something in my ankle, And I, you know, I want to go through my day ministering to people or whatever it is in my day. I don't suddenly get fearful. Oh, that might be that ankle that I broke a couple of years ago, you know, a few years ago. That might be coming back. You know, I'm getting a little older now. I say, go, be healed. Jesus, heal me. Get Pastor Mary Pat to pray for me. Sometimes have one of you pray for me. Do that. Never stop doing that, because the enemy will want to convince you, oh, they don't want to hear you once again say that thing about praying for this or that and the other. You've said that 5 times now, and they're tired of it. No, we're not. We like breakthrough for you. For you. If you've had a healing, raise your hand. You know it was God. Raise your hand. Yes. Remember that. That comes as you're wanting to go after his heart. You want to be hungry. You want to go into the world and preach the gospel. This stuff doesn't stick to us unless we fear it. Then it will stick to us. Don't fear what the enemy can bring against you. Because even if you die, you see, it's not fairy tale. It's not a lie. We are all going to die and be in a better place. You can't lose. What are you fearing? Don't fear. When the enemy is near, the enemy is done. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Baptize those that are saved. Remind them of the things Jesus taught you. Make disciples. Go to the next level. No excuses for you. Say it to God. There's no excuses for me. If you've made excuses, there's none for me. Well, I've struggled with, that can go. Well, I'm hurt in this area, that can go. People have hurt me, forgive them. I have offense, get rid of it. I have bitterness, offense multiplied, get it healed up. It'll tear you down, take you off the path. And then you know the great commandment. Love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And your neighbor is yourself. How we doing? How am I doing? Are we, when we were younger, did we kind of say, well, I have enough time because I'm just in school, and so I'll spend time praying for this person. And as we get a little older, you know, I don't have as much time to pray for people. I gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go. You know, ask God. Help me. Not let the burdens of life change the way I minister. Not the burdens of life change the way I minister. The responsibilities of life. Because he can make those light in an instant. My burden is, he can make it light in an instant if we allow him. John 13, 34 and 35. These are reminders to some of you. You know these verses very well. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. How are you doing? Have you backed off of your love from some of the believers in this body? Because they might tell you something you don't want to hear? That's not love. That's not love. That's running from loving. Present yourself before the Lord and let him search your heart. Am I really on the path of being a disciple, or am I looking for more comfort, more convenience in my life? Am I looking for a better situation for me? And then, oh, yeah, of course, I know all that stuff. I've done it all. I've been to the nations and so on. And I will let that catch up with me after I get to a little better situation myself. It doesn't catch up You end up leaving the path. You end up jumping out of being discipled. This is a challenge to us all. So please don't think that I'm mad at anyone. I just think we need to set the bar where the bar is supposed to be set. You're supposed to be disciples, and we're all supposed to end up making disciples. So I'm willing to help you be disciples. I'm willing. But you have to be willing. Pastor Mary Pat's willing to give her whole life that you become disciples. Are you willing to receive all that you can receive? Some of you are pressing in, some of you are kind of backing off. It's just the way it is. Other people in here are disciple makers, so it's not just you have to spend time with Pastor Mary Pat and myself. There are other people you're already connected with in many cases. If it's been a while since you've been connected, connect in again with someone that knows more than you do about living the Christian life. Ask them some of your questions, some of your struggles. Share those struggles with them. But don't go into the cave by yourself, speak off the wall and say, oh, I hear God, because it'll be your own voice. Don't go in there with someone else and speak off the wall and you hear your voice, oh, yeah, that sounds like God. Yeah, that sounds like God. But make yourself available to those that are at the high bar already. They're going after God with all that they are. You know who they are in this body. You can tell who they are. They carry joy most of the time. When they go through a challenge, they come up here and give the testimony how it worked out. Let some of those people speak into your life. Don't shy away from them. Oh, they're too spiritual. They don't want to spend time with me. Really? They loved to get to where they are. And if you're backing off from God's plan for your life, you're backing away from who God put in your life to disciple you, it's bad news. Because you're not just backing away from who God provided, you're backing away from God. From God. This is a message for all of us. Step forward into God's discipling for your life with a smile, with joy, with willingness to pay the cost, because there is a cost. You have to die. You have to die. You have to die. I have to die. I have to die. I have to die. I die three times, you die once. Die. Let's die. We've heard it up here 1,000 times. Go lower. What does that mean? It means at your most challenging moment of listening to what God wants you to do, obey. Don't say, I'm struggling. Someone hurt my feelings. Get your feelings at the caboose. Put your faith. What's the engine? The engine of the train. The feeling should be way back there at the caboose. Faith should be the engine. That's how you're going to go forward, trusting God, trusting God. I'm going to trust God in this. I'm going to trust God in that. I'm going to trust God for that job. I'm going to trust God for that situation in my family. I'm going to trust God that he wins those people in my family. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Uh-oh, I'm going over a cliff. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Oh, there's a mountain. I ran into it. Boom. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. See, you think those things stop you. No, they don't. The fear of those things. When you're on God's train, you go over the cliff. No problem. He's got it. He's got it. When you run into a mountain in God's train and faith's first, no problem. God's got it. God's got it. God's got it. He loves you. He has it. He has it for you. That's why we can be so joyous in worship and sing out, and who cares whether it harmonizes or not? We're giving it all. All of us.
Why? He deserves, just like we said in the songs, he deserves it all. It's not about you and me and our comfort and how much we get and how much we don't, and is this going to work out? Or God will make it work out if you're a disciple for his glory. Let me tell you, not everything in my life has worked out, but it's worked out. Huh? I'm on plan A. And some things went haywire. I'm still on plan A because I'm with God. And he took me over the cliff. I've been over the cliff. I survived. Some of you have been over the cliff. You've survived because you were with God. Jesus walked on water with who? Peter. Why? Peter needed him. Because Peter sunk on his own. But when he's with Jesus, he walked on water back to the boat. Walk on water back to the boat with Jesus. Jump into the boat and say, I'm yours, God. I'm not going to be in the back of the boat with the other disciples doing churchy stuff. I'm going to be at the front of the boat jumping in the water because I saw you walk with Peter. I want to walk like that. 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 Who wants to walk like that? Who wants to walk like that? Then you have to pay the cost. And the cost is pride. 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 I cannot run my own life. I cannot do everything myself. I cannot be a big boy, big girl, and do everything. I am not enough. I need Jesus. I need others in the body of Christ. Either the Bible is true or it isn't. Is it true? Yes, it is. We need one another. I need you. Some of you, I need more than you're giving me. Just be honest. I need you more. Sharpen me. Help me. Lift me up. Pray for me. Pastor Mary Pat, of course. You need some of us more. You do. Maybe this is your wake-up. I need more interaction with the body of Christ. And here's my body that I'm most familiar with, the ones that are closest to me, the ones that know me the most. Do you know there are actually people in this body with all that we have here that God has taught us, all the amazing people we have here that care about people, that go outside this body to get counsel from places that don't know them. Now, can they do that? Sure, of course. Absolutely. Do they have a right to do that? You have a right to live your life the way you want to live your life. But is it best when the people here know you? Think about it. Why wouldn't you come to them? They know your struggles. They prayed for you. They prayed for your healing for things. They prayed for what's going on inside your life. You've complained to them. You've shown your worst to them, and they still love you. And you go somewhere else where they don't know you, and you give them your story, and they go, oh. And they give you advice and so on. But they're basing it on not knowing you. You have the resource right here to be sharpened, iron sharpening iron, so one man sharpens another. You have that right here. The love that will sharpen. People aren't just going to come up and bat you over the head and say, get rid of that rust. Let me sharpen you up a little bit. They're going to love you because that shows we're disciples if we love one another, forgive one another, care for one another. No matter what we see, do you know we see weakness in some of your lives? We want that strengthened. We don't say, well, they're weak. Oh, heck with them. They'll never be a leader. Boy, if you would have said that about me, God, I wouldn't be here. I look at my path back in those days when I was a navigator and all the way through. They didn't want me to be a leader back in the navigators. I think they saw the weaknesses, and they said, no way. Some of them are pretty shocked that I've been all over the world ministering. I just say, that's God. That's God. Takes the weakest
takes the smallest, and in my case it fits, takes the boldest, and he can take us to the nations. He can ruin the nations with us for the good, with you for the good. Some of you have ruined nations. You don't even know it because you prayed for somebody. You didn't see anything happen. You left the country. They were healed. They told somebody else. That person wanted Jesus. They told this person over here. They became healed. They took it to their families. It multiplied to other people, and you were making disciples without even knowing it. And you're going to have that to look forward to in heaven. He's going to walk up to you. Remember that time that you prayed for that guy in Africa in that village? Kind of vaguely, nothing happened. Oh, yes, it did. Heaven is going to be about giving glory to God, how he took that little seed of yours and multiplied it into a tree. So that team that just came back from Mozambique, you think you saw the ministry they did? No, you saw the ministry they saw on the video. How many remember that? You know, you saw what they saw. But you didn't see the ministry they did. None of us did. They didn't. We didn't. Because it multiplied beyond what was there. That's what happens when you're a disciple. It multiplies. Jesus multiplies everything you do. Let's do something. Let's step into something. Because he's going to multiply it. Well, I tried that and it went nowhere. I could say that multitudinal times about what happened in my past when I was in 20s and 30s. But then suddenly in my 40s, we've got, you know, a ministry that's touching the nations. And I don't know how it happened. What did I do different, God? You were ready for what I was going to unveil, what I was going to do in your life. And the people that coming, they were ready. And it all worked together because I orchestrated it all. And one more challenge, might as well throw them all in one basket. Don't minister the way you're comfortable. Minister the way you're comfortable. I like doing this. I like, you know, making a meal for somebody and dropping it off at their house. And hi, you always see something. Thank you so much. Oh, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Do that. But you're comfortable with that. Do the thing that's uncomfortable. Pay a price. Someone in this body you've never spoken with before, give them a call this week. Hey, we go to the same church together. I never talk to you. We're in the same ministry together. We were on the same mission team, and I didn't really talk to you. Can I pray for you? You know, you don't have to start up a conversation you don't even know what to talk about, but you can always offer prayer for somebody. Some of you do that. It challenges me. I love it. I want to do more of that. The people I know least here, I want to know better. And I want you to do the same thing. Because it's hard, isn't it? Awkward. Do the awkward. Do the hard. Do the difficult. That's when it costs something. That's when you're dying to yourself. That's when I'm dying to myself. It's when it costs us something. It costs a little bit of our, you know, being comfortable, a little bit of our pride. Let pride die. Let pride die. Let pride die. Let it die and let it stay in the casket. Let's help one another with that. You know, we need each other to help one another with that. Because pride loves to come out of the casket, grab a hold of your throat, and take you somewhere. Usually not to a good place. A place of a cave where you just hear, you know, your own voice off the walls. A place to a house that's burning down and you're eating garbage. You don't even realize it and you're turning your back to Jesus. And you don't even realize it because no one's in the house to say, hey, yo, Jesus is out there. Don't you want to respond to him? And you might actually listen to them.
He's out there. He's trying to rescue you. He gave his life for you. But you have to be close enough with people to get those kinds of adjustments.
Have I said it enough? Okay, I can kind of tell. Okay, I've said it enough. Okay, everybody got it. Disciples, becoming disciples, so you can make disciples, change the nation. Good, change the nations. How we change these nations, become disciples ourselves. Good place to start, holy clubs. That was an advertisement. Good place to start, go to People's Baptist with us. Greet the people there, strangers. But they love us because they're in the body of Christ. We love them because they're in the body of Christ. Show we have love for other disciples in another church. I guarantee it will be one of the best services in August, along with the other three. But they'll be great. You'll love it. Father, we thank you, God. You're all about us sharing our hearts with one another. You're all about challenge. You gave us the most difficult challenges ever given to man when you were on the earth. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Keep men on your heart. They're on my heart. Lord, all the various challenges you gave us, we can't live up to those on our own. We need one another. We need to challenge one another, help one another grow, give advice, counsel, share with one another, share our hearts together, love, 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 covering it all, Lord. You can do that in us through the Holy Spirit. We are too weak on our own, but with your Holy Spirit rising up to full power within us because we say we're hungry, you will fill us. You never leave someone just hungry. You fill us, Lord. Fill us up with everything we need in the Holy Spirit. Fill us up with everything we need in the Word of God. Fill us up with your presence, that we carry your presence in the times of challenge, in the times of temptation, the times we want to disconnect and do our own thing. Jesus, have your way. Have your way. I wrote on this pad everything I wanted to cover today. Hungry and fat. Okay, so this is the way it works. It's an old navigator thing. Hungry is not, but you get hungry. You need to be hungry after God. But you also need to be fat. Faithful, available, and teachable. Faithful. Going after God's heart and everything that he is. Available. You have to make yourself available for that. It doesn't just happen like osmosis. And teachable means you actually have to listen to someone else with a full heart, full attention, that it might be something from God for you. Same with me. I remember learning from a Dutch Reformed guy that was a stockbroker. He was about as far away from me in experience and everything else. I grew up, some of you know, as a garbage man's son. And he was a stockbroker, sharp guy, sharp cars, great haircut, used to be a barber before he was a stockbroker. And yet, he was the one that God used in my life. He knows nothing in experience about many of the things that we talk about in Frontline today, but if I hadn't listened to that guy that God provided for me, I wouldn't have taken the next steps in the Spirit. You have been provided with people in this body. You don't have to look very far. There are some places you could go as far as churches, and I know some people that said, I can't find somebody to disciple me in my church. I said, oh, there's got to be somebody. You know, God will point them out. Nope, there isn't anybody. There's a famous book in the 70s called The Lost Art of Disciple Making. In the 70s, they were thinking it was a lost art. What do you think it is today with all the distractions we have? So you're on the right path if you're after God's heart as a disciple. Just don't leave it thinking, oh, I'll do it this way. When God is saying, no,
you need to kind of, you know, stay in the chute with what God has for you. Up your game. Get closer to God. Get closer to the people here. Don't just come in and wave on a Sunday. Hey, yeah, good to see you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow, wow. Hey. Yeah, oh, yeah. Picnic, you know, see you at the picnic. See you at the picnic. Don't get churchy. Get challenged. You need it?
Just very quickly, if you have not been through any recently, because most of you, I think, have been through any of our, for lack of a better word, family or membership classes, training, would you please see me? What we're doing now in this season, last year we did this at the Larsons, we had lunches, and to help people covenant in, to connect in. You don't get a card like Planet Fitness, okay, now I'm a member, that type of thinking. I think that's what PB's talking about. But yet there is a commitment when we do family life, kingdom life together. And so there's a commitment to understand how to, that helps us understand how we can flow with the Spirit of God working through us, and where we can love one another, care for one another, and then receive the caring in the body as well. So there's that family heart connection and the commitment that involves time, finances, pouring out of ourselves and receiving as well. So it's a receiving and it's a giving. But to be able to understand all the things that Pastor Bill was mentioning, he didn't mention all the places you can get involved, but we were talking to some beautiful people last Sunday and they were asking questions from our website. There's so much on there. What do we do? How do we get involved? And so we don't have this every week, but we do have it cyclically. And so we have the fall coming up here and we're planning lunches. So if that's you and you've not been able to or known how to take a faith step, faith commitment into what's frontline life, kingdom life in frontline, as I'm committing as a person who wants to partner with this body, let me know if you haven't had a chance to do that yet so we can plan accordingly. So that's going to be starting. I don't have dates, but that's been on our heart. So that's a covenant heart connection, and that's what I believe Pastor Bill is also meaning when he says we don't have a membership where you sign on the dotted line, you never see anybody again, and then if you die someday, they put it in the obituary that you were a member of something. It's not like that. This is a participatory type of relational connection, which I think most of us believe and understand. But anyhow, if you're fairly new or newer and you have not had a chance to go through that, you have questions, then let me know and then we'll be able to sign you up for those lunches. So most of the people in here, I think, are pretty familiar. However, this many people listen to this message afterwards, so that's why I wanted to add that. So God bless you, and we'll see you Tuesday if you're able to make it to Fire and Wind. Amen.